Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and we're sure glad that you tuned into your show, Raising Expectations. And we're here to have a wonderful show tonight for you. We've got great things to talk about and share. You all know the team. We're from all across the United States right now. And we all are people of faith. We're born-again believers. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know and believe that he died on the cross for our sins and that he rose from the dead. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again someday. And like we love to say, that tells us three things. We know who we are, we know why we are, we know where we're going, and maybe best of all, we know that he's with us every day, every step of the way. It's great to be a believer and have the truth inside. It really clears the fog up when we look at the world that we live in today. We're going to start on the West Coast real quickly so that you get to, again, meet the team. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time. I know I got one text this week that said you'd be tuning in, so hope you're with us tonight. So we're going to start in Lompoc, California, which is not far from where our space station is. And we just heard about that a little bit from him a minute ago. That's Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California. Dr. Paul is a retired pastor, and he's still a pastor. He retires on paper. He's still pastoring people all over the place. They call him, and he's a man who loves the Word of God, loves people. He's a man who is an expert in the Word of God, and he knows how to share it because he takes the Word of God from his mind, shares it through his heart, and the Holy Spirit makes it different when it touches the lives of people. Paul and I have been friends over 50 years. That's got to be a mistake, but I guess I have to say it because I added it up. Anyway, Paul, it's been a long time, man. Good to see you.
Yes, thank you. Good to see
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. He's coming to you from Lompoc, California, and we're glad he's with us tonight. So we're going to go and take the little rocket that just launched there near him, and we're going to go east this time across the nation. We're going to go all the way to the East Coast, the South, actually, Dalton, Georgia. And right there are two very good friends, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. They are two of God's very special people also. Steph, as you know, we tell you all the time, is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells, which means she is the best health coach you're going to find anywhere in the nation. And I say that every week for one reason. I like saying things that are true. So that's a fact right there. And she'll take, right, Ron? She'll take good care of you, whatever your need might be. She's always there. She knows what to eat, how to eat, and everything else. And she gives you a pudge at Christmas, and it's getting close. It's on my calendar. So it won't be long now. So anyway, Steph is a lady of God, loves her husband and her family, and they make a great team. And to her left, and my right, actually, is Dr. Tank. Dr. Thayer is a trauma surgeon. He is an author. His first book, Saved, you'll find on our website. Got my book there. I always forget to mention that. I'm Pastor Joe, but you all know me. Anyway, that's his book right there, Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary. And we're here each week to tell you that that's just where you'll find him working, in the ordinary things of life with extraordinary power. And you got the faith right there in God's word. Hopefully I can enlighten some of you and enthuse you as he enthused me at looking at faith in God's word. Faith brings about the power of God in the ordinary things of life and makes your life and mine extraordinary as we trust in him. So there, the Thayers are right there in Dalton, Georgia, on the south, in the southeast area back there. And if we come to their left and head our way back across to the great state of Texas, which is, as I've been told by Ron, the hinge state upon which the whole nation rests. And right there, you'll find one of our favorite pastors in the world, Pastor Ron Greer from McKinney, Texas. And Ron is a great guy, a great brother in the Lord. He's He's a pastor. He's a counselor. You name it, Ron's done it. Most of all, he loves the Lord, and he always is there to help people. He's got a heart of gold, and he helps men. He's with Quenching Wells. No, we could use that, but he's not. He's actually with Man in the Mirror, to get this straight, and that's out of Florida, where he does a lot of his work there in Texas from that group. And he helps men. He helps men to understand who they are in Christ and to realize that, hey, God never left. He's there and he's got a purpose just for them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your mind in the word and watch what he can do. Ron leads men in a great and special way. Just love these people. They bless my life always. And it's a thrill. I look forward every week to get with them. I've been a pastor over 52 years, and everywhere I've ever been, there's never been a group of people that I have loved to be with any more than this group right here. And and when my last days come around someday, I've already talked to God about this. He's not taking me anywhere when he calls me home until I call Tank first and let Tank take care of it, because that's real great to know he's right there and he knows what he's doing also. So we are excited about tonight. We have a guest that is part of our family, and you've asked about her quite often. And her name is Janet Price, and she is the elected president of the Golden State Republican Women. And she's coming with us live and direct from Southern California, from the San Fernando Valley area there. And this is her new state seal there that you can see, Golden State Republican Women. And there's the bear right there. And what's cool is Texas, a lot of our friends, as Ron knows, that's the Lone Star Republic. And this is the Golden Bear Republic, the only two states that were actually their own republics before they joined the United States. What a history they have together. And so it's a great time and a great place to be. So we want to welcome her tonight. We've got some questions she's going to share, and then we're just going to have a great time talking together about what's going on in light of this and some other things also. So we want to give Janet the round of applause. Hey, I got it. Round of applause tonight. Janet, welcome to Raising Expectations. We're going to give you the round of applause. We're so glad you're here tonight. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. As I said, I just love this team and love being with all of you. It is I am delighted every time I have a Monday with you guys, because it makes me relax and not even think about what's going on out there in the world.
Well, we'll change that.
we're blessed to have you. We're going to throw, I thought I'd throw a question. It's obviously not a question, it's something for you. And I know you probably already thought about these things, but I had a couple of people ask me again this week, and it's really exciting. The ministry and the job that the Golden State Republican Women do, what's that about and how does that work? And maybe you can explain some of that to us. That would be great.
It is brand new. We've never had anything like this in the state of California before. But I'll give you a history of the Federated Women. Now, maybe some of you know, or some of the women, or maybe some of the men know of the Federation. It's a national organization, and then each state has its own state federation. So California Federation started back in the suffragette movement. It started back that far. And it actually started in a little club in Los Angeles by a woman named Frances Collins. And so it has been, maybe 96 years old. And then the National started in the 1930s. I think that was 1936. So it has been great. But as you know, every time something goes that long, it usually needs cleaning out, like our refrigerators, right? that food was good back then, but I got to clean this up. So it is time right now that we had a cleaning out, especially facing this big election next year. And I wanted to get our feet on the ground, and we were blessed to be, I don't know if I shared this last time, Joe. Tell me if I'm repeating myself.
No, that's good.
Became chartered as a volunteer organization under the CAGOP, the California GOP, on October 1st. So we are going to be a totally different structure than what the Federated did. With the Federated, you had a lot of bylaws, and a lot of them were kind of onerous. And it was heavy on these clubs, making them do this and do that and jump to this and jump to that and pay this amount of money. And so it just is time for something free. And I read in one of my devotionals, where the Spirit of God is, there is a spirit of freedom. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to honor first. God and then country. So we're switching the structure upside down. It used to be an umbrella, and everything was under the umbrella of the National Federated and the California Federated. We're switching it. So all the electeds are going to be at the bottom, and it's going to be servant leadership. California's never had that before, and they are in huge need of good leadership. And they are going to have freedom with the clubs being at the top and being autonomous. So basically, the statewide leaders are going to serve the clubs, and the clubs are not going to have heavy restrictions on them at all. We just say, you join if you are a Republican, a registered Republican women. And then we're going to have legacy members. We're going to have students who are invited for free from 18 to 22. We want to get that group, and so they can join for free. And we're going to have members at large, which means you don't have to have a home club as you used to have to with the Federated. We are going to invite people from out of state to join. And it is an exciting time. And I'm finding that so many clubs, I didn't even know that they were wanting to be free like this from a heavy national organization. And so I've got a lot of excited clubs and a lot of excited women. Men can be associate members. We've had associate members with men for a long time with the Federation, but they can't vote and they can't be on our boards, but they can sure come and have a lot of fun. So this is an exciting time for me personally, because it has not happened before. And I'm just privileged to be in this position, but I feel the timing is so perfect.
Yes.
Our feet on the floor, kind of like I was saying, we're laying the cement. Now we did the structure, but the cement's drying, and I want it dry for 2024 so we can hit the ground running. And we will. And we will.
Amen.
So Jenna, tell the people exactly what you guys do.
Well, any club, we're a statewide organization.
All right.
We have many different clubs, starting with the northern region, mm-hmm. and the central region, and the southern region. And we are going to educate, and we're going to serve. Amen. It's alarming to me how many people don't know the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. They don't know the basics on which our country was founded. Mm-hmm. And so it feels a lot. And I bring this up when I talk to clubs. It feels like we are the founding mothers, instead of the founding fathers. But they met, and it was a hard slog to get that Declaration of Independence written. You know, 56 men gathered in the Pennsylvania State House, and they were very gifted, very intelligent, many of them very moneyed. So you can imagine the clash of egos in that room when they all got together. They were fighting and yelling. And finally, Benjamin Franklin called a recess for 3 days. And he's labeled a deist, but he called for prayer. Mm. And so for a time, that settled it all down. But what they did has lasted 247 years, and they had no idea what they were doing, because the country hadn't been born yet.
Right.
I kind of feel like that. Amen. I have no idea what impact this is going to have on the future, how big it is, how important it is. But I feel that the Lord's wind is to our back, and that the timing is important right now in California, right now in the nation, but California.
Yeah. Well, on that Constitution note, I do have a little side story. So I used to travel around the country speaking, and I had a certain region I was in also. And I would, one of the things I would do would embarrass, it would embarrass people who travel with me most times, but I'd be at a restaurant or at a gathering or someplace on the college campus. And I carried in my pocket a copy of the Constitution.
I have one too. I carry it with me all the time.
And in that little Constitution booklet, I had a $20 bill. And the object lesson was, I tell one of my assistants, somebody with me, pick out anybody in the crowd, and pick out five. And I say to them, here's the deal. It's 20 bucks in this book inside the Constitution. If you can recite for me the preamble to it, I'll let you have $20. Mm-hmm. I was, when you said that, I was looking over here because I have it someplace in my bookshelf. The staples rusted in that book. And the $20 bill.
Still there?
It was there for probably 6-7 years.
Well, that's too bad.
Not a single person. Fascinatingly, horrifyingly interesting that the vast majority of Americans don't have any clue what's in the Constitution. They don't even know the preamble. They have no, and it's not by accident. Not by accident.
No. None of this has been run. Yeah. And when you see the man on the street interviews, now that horrifies me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
People don't even know who the president is, but I wouldn't want to know right now either. It's amazing, simple things that people don't know. Mm-hmm. I think, Joe, do you remember back in school, didn't we have to learn the preamble to the Constitution and recite it?
Yeah, Dr. Rankin. Yeah.
Yes, we had to do that.
Yeah.
And there's so much in government and in history and geography and all the things that are not being taught anymore.
Not being taught at all.
Wait, the schools don't say the Pledge of Allegiance.
No.
They don't. No. We used to not only say that, but open with prayer.
Yes. 63.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people can't wrap their brains around that. You know, we did the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalms, and the Pledge of Allegiance every morning at school.
Exactly.
Led in the Lord's Prayer over the speaker by the principal, Professor Payne.
Yeah, that's right.
Every day.
Hard to believe.
Natural. If nobody went home and called their parents and said, I'm offended.
Yeah.
This was natural. It was the love of country that was just taught us, and the love of God just taught us.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
I think when all that went, and we can go back to Madeline Murray O'Hare and many other things that infected the school system. But I think that was the beginning of the end.
Yes.
Any respect that kids had or any manners that they had or any love of country.
Oh, yes.
Or teachers either.
That's why the charter schools are coming in big time. They really do the Constitution. They share these things in the charter schools. One thing's hard to believe, you might know this, Ron, is California has a huge charter school system going. And Newsom, the governor, tried to stop it two or three times with legislation. Janet, you know more than I do about that. But he didn't. And they're still going strong. They're popping up everywhere, really teaching, working hand in hand with homeschool parents and homeschool groupings. I forget the name, Steph, you didn't help me there. But they pulled together. And the charter school doesn't bring the actual scripture out because you don't have to be a Christian to be there. But you have to understand all the things Ron was saying and you're saying, the Constitution, why we're a nation, what was the Civil War, who died in the Civil War, what are all these things about?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have to pass tests on them. And it's
what a George Orwell quote. It was most effective way to destroy a people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history.
They are.
Oh, yes. That's why. I really believe that it's been on purpose. One of you said, it's not accidental. Yeah, probably right. You said that, Ron.
Yeah.
That people are more easily controlled, particularly young ones. And they did this long time ago.
Yes.
To make sure they didn't know their history and then they didn't appreciate their history. Yes. And people who are uneducated are easily controlled.
Absolutely.
anything.
False naked. Yep.
Arnold Toynbee made an observation one time. He's a historian, and he said, every great civilization is never conquered from the outside. They die by suicide.
Yes,
and,
right.
And I think that's pretty, you know, insightful. I'd like to pursue something with you, Janet. You, if I understood what you said that the Federation, which was a national organization.
It still is.
If I understood, you said, many of the people wanted to start a new one because the regulations were too heavy. Is that right? Yeah. So last week we had a guest on our program, Denise Pandol.
Pandol, running for office.
She made a lot of really interesting points, you know, and was very excited about the possibilities of California. So I'm taking what you said about the national organization, and then I'm saying, and here we have a country that is regulated to death. California is regulated to death, you know. And what are you sensing on a grassroots kind of level? What are you sensing that people are talking about in terms of the changes they want to see? Should we get back on the horse in California? You know, what do you see? What do you hear?
Well, it's very interesting you're saying this, because down at the CGOP convention, first of all, it's the first time that the convention's had every single candidate for president down there. Trump was down there. DeSantis was down there. Vivek. Every one of them were there. Tim Scott. But it wasn't just that. There was an excitement at that three-day convention that none of us have ever felt before. And I would go from room to room, depending on what was happening in that room. And there were so many talking about faith and freedom and the spread of evangelicalism here in California. And my second vice president turned to me, and she's a very strong believer, and she said, "This is the most different convention I've ever been to." I said, "I know. It's exciting. You can feel it. It's palpable." So I came back with the sense California is rising. Okay. It is rising. And I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a blink of God's eye or it's going to take some time. But whatever it is, I just leave it to him. But it's gotten me excited about what we thought had been dead and gone a long time ago. You know, people were saying California is going to go into the ocean and it deserves it. And, you know, there is a great movement here.
That's right.
For faith, family, and freedom.
Yeah. I mean, that's encouraging, because we were Californians.
Yes, I know you were.
My wife was ready to leave much earlier because we homeschooled and the laws were changing. Sure. And then it was like, okay, what's going to break the camel's back, right? When's the final? For me, it was like, we can't homeschool. Okay, we're gone. Or, well, I mean, Newsom passed a law that I, as a physician, couldn't talk about Fauci or anybody else in the government in a negative way, or I'd lose my license. And luckily he's changed that.
Just got removed.
So he's finally realized, and so has everybody else, that Fauci wasn't always right. And
like ever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, since the 80s.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
He's been funded by the CDC and a bunch of other places. This pharma, big pharma, I should say. Not, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, I think California's got a lot of potential. And I would say the one word I hope that's changing it is tolerance. Tolerance is a sin. I mean, we can't sit back as human beings and watch the world the way it is. We can't watch what California or Washington State is doing and passing laws and just sit back and go, okay, that's government. We're not allowed. No, churches and we as people are supposed to step in and so throw some punches.
You are so right. Stephanie, were you going to say something?
Yeah, there's been a couple things that I think people have been surprised by us moving here. I get a lot of comments that in the South, they just assumed all Californians were very liberal. And I said, there's actually a large grouping that's not. And I'll pull up the map of California and how much it's changed, that it was all completely red. And then it, you know, and then the other thing is that there are a lot of Californians that have a very strong faith. Because when I start talking to people and then they realize, wait a second, she knows her Bible and she's serious about this. And I said, there's actually a lot of us. It's just, it gets drowned out by a little bit of a majority, a louder yeller, right? Wow. And so I do think there is a big movement coming. And I know those youngins get a bad rap, but there's a lot of really good youngins there in California that are very conservative and on fire for the Lord and want family values, want less government, want to be able to make their own businesses and make their own choices. So it's there. We just have to. Well,
what I'm hearing, Stephanie and Joe met these pastors, Henry and Grace Fellaini, but I heard one of them speak at a church here recently, and they said, and it's in a little book that they had, that there have been more evangelical movements, strong evangelical movements out of California than anywhere else on earth. Mm. Anywhere else on earth. And he named so many of the big pastors we all know. And of course, he said Billy Graham. He said, sure, he came from North Carolina, but he didn't start his movement until it was in California. And then, of course, Chuck Smith and Jesus Revolution and all that. I'm hearing that the media is not covering what's happening here now. Right. There have been big, big beach baptisms down. Yeah. Did you hear about it, too? Yeah. Pirate's Cove.
Yeah.
And they are not talking about it at all.
Well, and this one was even separate from Pirate Cove, which is, you know, a continuation kind of the Calvary and Vineyard movement. Right. But I took our sons actually a couple weeks ago to see Domino Revival, and it was about getting the message out during the COVID lockdown and how ministry folks started using YouTube and, you know, walking around on live on Instagram and all these things. And there was a couple that felt like they were supposed to move from New York to California. And there were massive baptisms happening at Huntington Beach, thousands and thousands of people.
I talked to people who were there and they pulled out. They couldn't even find a place to park.
I had never heard it.
So, of course not. They are covering it up. Yeah. There was one in Beverly Hills. There was one in front of Grauman's Chinese. They shut down Hollywood Boulevard. It's amazing, folks, but it is happening. Mm-hmm. And so one of the pastors said, if you are called out of California because God has a reason for you to be planted where you are, he has a new job, he has, you know, family to flourish in a certain place, fine. But if you are not, don't leave California because you're angry and because you're mad and because, you know, this is the worst state in the world. He said, it is happening, you guys. It said, I'm not telling you it's going to happen. He said, it's happening now, right now.
Yeah. I would also point out that the subject of the Central Church movie was John MacArthur.
Repeat it, Ron, what's it called?
The Central Church.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's another one of those incidents and situations that didn't get much national coverage at all. But it's sort of a documentary they made on it. That's what you can get it on DVD now. But that was John MacArthur who set off this whole sort of thing in California, patches in Canada, and here in Texas, and a couple places in the South. It was during the whole lockdown.
The
government has no role, no authority over the church, and refused to shut down. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard of Jack Hibbs?
Yeah, Jack Hibbs is another
Daniel
one.
Hills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jack, matter of fact, there's a large group of people here. Jack Hibbs is a rock star.
I know he is. Wow.
Him and also there's a radio broadcast out of Minneapolis. Discerning the Times, I think it's called. Okay. Jack is one of the main featured on there often, and it's on American Family Radio all over the country as well. But that's quite a few things, quite a few workings.
There are It is amazing. I want to go to Chino Hills. My daughter and I were looking it out this morning to see who was closer and how would we get there. But yeah. I heard one of his people on Saturday night, I was coming home from a wedding, and one of his people was on the radio talking about how they have strong registration, voter registration there on the patio on Sundays. And she said, you should see what election day looks like at our church. She said, it is just like patriotism exploded. Mm-hmm. It's a huge party. We celebrate being Americans. We celebrate the privilege of voting. And she said, flags everywhere, red, white, and blue, popcorn for the kid. It is one big party. This is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have a great nation. And I'll tell you, I just got back from Uganda and there were 45 grown men that we had a discussion with. And we asked one question, and it is, do you have any questions about America? And the first question was, is America run by Satan?
Yeah. By the state?
Satan.
Devil.
Oh, Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, same thing.
Is America run by Satan? Yeah.
That was good. Well played.
Well played. Well played. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. When you have plenty and you think you're in control, absolutely Satan's going to be right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a friend that's had an international mission organization that I used to help him and work with and volunteer. And one of the most, the first time I heard it, it actually shocked me. So we were bringing people from Africa, South Korea, folks in China snuck in. So we bring them in and we've got this mission conference to train them. The first time I heard it was from South Koreans. One of the largest Christian churches around, and they were coming to the mission conference to get additional training, but they more so wanted to meet Americans to get a better idea of how to minister to Americans.
Mm.
One of their primary missionary teams were places of sending missionaries was the United States.
Was the amen.
Same in the guys that came out of somewhere in Southern Europe. They were training to send missionaries to America. Although my question was, why are you leaving Europe? But that's another issue.
You know, it's interesting, Ron. That's what MacArthur wrote on. He wrote, remember, the sufficiency of Christ was about England being in the situation we're in when England was the beacon of the gospel to the world. Yes. And they started sending the same thing. MacArthur addressed that with missionaries and we don't know how to reach them. And now look. So that's a scary thought. If we didn't know the Lord had it in the grip of his hand, he's going to take care of it. Oh, boy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I go back to California. I mean, I remember California in the 70s, I mean, before Christ. Yeah. And I remember it being this conservative Republican place. But the thing I remember also was, you know, I was running from the Lord, and he always seemed to have me connecting with these Camp Crusade guys or the hippie Jesus guys and on and on. And of course, but that's another story. But anyway, but back in those, it, like you, as you said, I mean, the whole Jesus movement, I mean, I don't think people still can't, you still can't describe it to people. It just feel the culture and the air. It's you were running to Christians that didn't fit any mold at all. Mm-hmm. And there was no one's afraid of talking about Jesus and sharing the gospel. And some of them were, you know, really weird, but I remember one of the ways we got around, you hitchhiked everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
A little bag of weed, and you hitchhike and give somebody a joint, and they would take you someplace else. And I can't tell you the number of times some hippie picked me up or some guy in a car and wanted to share Jesus with me. I mean, that was California in the 70s.
That's when Chuck Smith.
Yes.
And Lonnie and all of them were starting these movements.
Yes.
And
part of my theory is part of the sort of overwhelming attack on California. It's just my personal opinion. Satan decided to attack the place that was the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like onslaught of it started in the like mid late 70s, early 80s, and just continued.
I agree with you, Ron, but we know who wins.
Absolutely.
And so I'm watching this and I'm going, you know, God's got you on a leash.
Yes.
And he says, this far and no farther. And bang, it is yanked back. Yeah. And I think that is happening now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to explain to people here who, you know, we literally have billboards. So don't Californiaize my Texas.
Yeah. They did that in Oregon and Washington.
But I was trying to explain to them how conservative most of California is. And they laugh at you and go, no. Right. You got to get outside those population little circles in California. I mean, San Francisco, right. Oakland. You get outside there. And I'm telling you, you'd swear you were in old middle Texas, Middle East Texas someplace.
Right.
Yeah. Very conservative, very patriotic.
Very true. While
driving through the countryside and seeing the Trump 24 signs.
Oh, yes.
Where?
Well, he was down. Oh, okay. He was down at this convention that I was at. And we were told before we went down there, be careful because this came out in the paper and said, calling all Democrats. Trump will be Friday night at the Anaheim Marriott from 10:30 to 1:30. Show him we think he should be in jail. And so this went out to all of the delegates and all of the people who were going to speak. And so I left early because I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, hit terrible traffic. There was not one demonstrator. I walked up and down Harbor Boulevard and they had trucks with Trump flags and American flags. No one, even Trump was blown away by that. And I was told, this is California. I was told they're going to be out here to get me and nothing. There was a line out the door. Those people waited 3 hours to get into the lunch to meet him.
So there is hope. There is hope. There is hope.
A lot of it. A lot of it.
And I'm one of those people praying for California.
Thank you.
The way probably California goes, so goes everybody else. Yeah, I just need a movement to start there and break out.
It seems like each of us that come down roads in life, like Ron, your testimony, and all of us, you know, Steph, you guys are just, we are the people who realize that, like you said, it does take faith. It does take hope. And I like that old saying, the reason I need faith in my life is to turn hope into reality. Mm. Why is that? And I don't take the time on it right now, but that's why I love Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things, the convictions of things not seen yet. For by people that they reach their commendation. By faith, we understand the universe is created by the word of God. Everything that we can see is going to pass, but one thing never passes, and that's God. And God is in control of all of this. And it's gone beyond that, like you were saying, Janet. I mean, it's not that I need to try to remember stuff. It's happening all around us. We just wake up and see it. And I think of this kid who's now a grandfather, and he sent me a note from Abilene, the first church I was youth pastor, was back in Texas, Ron, in Abilene. And he sent me a note. And when I met these kids, you guys might know, but he was flying a kite, but there was no kite. And the two of them were there, and there was just a string in the air. There was nothing there. And I thought, what are you guys doing? He says, we're flying a locust. Yeah, we just tie their back legs, and we let them fly, and they go way up high. We don't hurt it, Pastor Joe, and they just fly. You couldn't see anything. I can't see sometimes what God's doing. But I said, well, how do you know what's up there? And he says, well, hold it. He says, every few seconds, you'll feel a jerk. That's when he quits cruising and starts climbing. So when God starts climbing, I feel the jerk or the thread all of a sudden. But I don't need to see something that I don't see, because now, like you're saying, it's happening all around us.
It is.
And for us to remember that I need faith in my life to do what? Turn my hope into reality. It's there. Excuse me, Janet. I'm sorry.
No. I was just, because you were talking about, I think as they say, in the end times, will good get better and evil get worse? And it's yes. They both are doing this at the same time. And this is what we're seeing now. Yeah. We're seeing horrific things that we can't even speak of. But they are happening. But God's there. And then the bright side. And it's like this huge warfare in the heavens. And you can feel it. I can feel it in people. They're picking it up, and I am just it's almost exciting to be alive at a time like this. This is history. Yeah.
You know, David Jeremiah is good friends with Adrian Rogers. You remember Adrian Rogers, Paul? We used to talk mm-hmm. about Adrian Rogers.
Oh, yes.
And he quoted Adrian Rogers. You remember that? He quoted him and he said, you know, folks, and he said, I'm going to quote my friend. He said, and he used the phrase, it's getting gloriously darker. Just what you were saying, Jan. It's getting gloriously darker. Exactly. After God does his greatest work sometimes.
Yeah. And that's what he's doing. And so when people say, well, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Yeah. We don't have to know. God does.
That's right.
That's what miracles are all about.
Right.
If we see what he's doing, it's not a miracle.
Yeah. I tell him, read the end of the book.
Read the end of the book. That's right. That's
sometimes
right.
I talk to my dad. This is going to sound different. If you're tuning in right now, you might want to get a glass of milk or something. Anyway, sometimes I'm getting old and I think like I'm talking to my dad and I say, Dad, you're up there now. You did space and you flew somewhere and you're up there now. Are you seeing some of this stuff? Are you seeing what God's doing now? Is it true? Is he really doing it? It's almost like I get another twist on the string again. Going ahead of us, all those, they're already seeing it all. Can you imagine the stuff we read about? They're saying it's all right here. Mm. You know, it's amazing.
I love it. I find myself saying, Maranatha, Lord, please.
Maranatha, Lord. Thank you. I got to get my grandkids saved first, then we can do it. But just give me a little longer, Lord. Just the grandkids.
Well, you had a thought there, Tank. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, isn't it sad that humanity has to prove Satan exists in order to have faith in God?
Amen.
Oh, that's very good.
Exactly, Tank.
Very good.
Why do we need to see how evil, beautifully created in God's image, people can be? Not because they're evil, but they're demonic. They've been demonized. They're not in control anymore. And we have to look at that and go, how can a human cut the head off of a baby, put them in an oven and kill them? Yeah. How can they do these things? They're demonized. They exactly. clearly are, you know, Satan is alive and well.
Yeah.
And now it takes that for to see that evil to then go, okay, God, what do we do?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the encouragements I have to a number of students and also friends, you know, who are discouraged and who want to just go ahead and close the door and, you know, Lord, just come get us now. Right. It's like, listen, so he has predetermined beforehand the time you live in and the place you live, right? Mm-hmm. He's already decided that long beforehand, before you ever got here. Mm-hmm. So if you're here in the midst of all this happening, it's a blessing.
Well, that's what I feel.
It's hard for people to wrap their head around it. And the other thing is, it's you look at all the stuff happening and you focus on them saying, listen, change your perspective.
Amen.
Everything's Amen. Happening around you confirms the truth of the scripture.
That's right.
God says, and he over and over again, these things are going to happen. You're going to see these things happening. But he says, but you don't fret. Why? I'm telling you these are coming. If I'm telling you they're happening and you're seeing they're happening, it confirms to you, I am indeed who I say I am, and what I said is true. And one of the things that he says for sure over and over again, where I am, you will be with me also.
Amen.
So don't fret.
Right here.
You go back to Peter. In the midst of Peter's writing, I mean, Nero's burning, they're chasing Christians all over the place. They're killing them like crazy. And you listen to Peter talking, right? Don't be aware, be on your guard, watch the devil's chasing, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you think he's going to give this great answer to what they should do. Keep getting married. Keep having children. Keep simple
stuff. Forward living
keep
life.
Living your life for the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was getting on my preacher stand. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it.
No, it's like, you know, there's Matthew and there's Mark. Mark's the Great Commission, right? Says the things that Matthew says, but it goes one more paragraph. So it's not just be the light, spread the light, go out in the world and unite nations. It's also you are given these gifts of prophecy, destroying demons.
It's wild.
It's yeah. I mean, the American church doesn't read that paragraph. Yeah. It's like we're given a sword to go out there and, you know, be the light. You know, mm-hmm. help give a moral compass and love people. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't it true? The older we get, really, be honest, guys, because I'm getting old. None of you are. But in any event, the older we get, don't you find yourself, you come to the place where I really don't care what people think. I'm going to love them as long as they know, hey, Pastor Joe Leslie cares about me, but I don't care if they disagree. I don't care if they want to have a fit. I'm going to say, like Ron was saying, hey, here's what the word says. I believe it. I know it. God always has been. He always will be. And I belong to him. So there it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we get that boldness when we get there, like you're talking about, Tank. It really doesn't matter. Put on the armor of God and shoot, it's probably getting droopy on me now, but still I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
Droopy armor?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's
droopy so armor.
I think it's some of those comedies, the castles, you know, and he's trying to get it on.
It's definitely better now. They make it in Kevlar, so you should do
it. That's good.
Thank you.
No problems. No problems.
You know what? One of our slogans for our men, it said, hey, armor up. Every day you get out to wake up in the morning, realize you're stepping out into a war, in a battle. Armor up. You know, every day, every moment.
When the kids were little, we'd put the belt on. We'd buckle everything into it, do the shoes, the whole, you know. Get them to visualize what you're actually doing.
Great. I love that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when, I don't know about you guys, but in the middle of the night or when I wake up in the morning, the thoughts just bombard me. You know,
yeah.
That flame. Arrows, because my resistance is down. I'm tired, so I can't fight them as much. But I just visualize, okay, Lord, put on the helmet, put on the helmet, and protect my mind. So my thoughts are your thoughts.
Yeah,
Tabula rasa over everything else.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Also, I'm sorry, someone was didn't want
no,
to.
No. You
go ahead. We have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
He holds us 5 minutes.
Where did this time go? Anyway, it is just interesting to see how Israel is lined up with California. These are two very important pieces of real estate in the world. Obviously, Israel being the most, because Jesus was born there. He healed there. He did his miracles there. He gave his life there, and he was transfigured there. And that little mighty nation is just... Can I read this real quickly? And I'll read it real quickly. Israel is the only nation on earth that inhabits the same land, bears the same name, speaks the same language, and worships the same God that it did 3,000 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah. This was Charles Krauthammer.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Well, here's one for you. With the DNA study back, I think it was in March, I believe, of last year. They did a DNA study of the four different sites three in Israel and one in Jordan. And they did match that DNA to 1,600 and some odd samples of people in Israel. The DNA for the people they dug up, well, present day Israelites share 50% of that DNA still of the Canaanites and the folks that were there before. The other 50%, Ashkelon and Sherrada, I believe. So the Palestinian, on the other hand, there's no DNA that ties them to that land. 50% of their DNA is the same as the Jews who are there, but the other 50% is Africa and East Africa and also further down, right? There's no DNA that ties them to that area. So it's one of those extraordinary things. Every time some archaeologist digs something up, just confirms the scripture over and over again. Confirms that.
Amen. That's it. Right on the spot, Ron. Boy, that's amazing. Stephanie, we need to take a shot here.
Right.
We have a quick word for. We could sure use help. Some of you are so faithful each month, but if anybody, Stephanie, you're on.
Okay, I was scribbling my notes. I'm going to look that up, Ron, as soon as we're off.
Yeah. Oh, it's excellent.
I'll send you a resource.
Okay, yeah, please do. We love having you guys hang out with us every Monday night or whenever you can. You know, we're on every platform you can find us. Just Google it. But if you go to bbsradio.com/raising-expectations, you can find out all about the show. You can listen to us. You can actually check out the other shows too. BBS Radio is amazing. They're very good to us. At the top there, you can learn the different ways that you can donate through PayPal, through Venmo. You can reach out directly to Pastor Joe. You can also scroll down and learn about each of us as co-hosts, archives of the show. We always love your commentary and feedback, and Joe loves responding back to those. So feel free to write to us, ask questions, but your gift is always welcome. And we know, oh, here's Pastor Joe's book and then Craig's book. You can find them both on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever. But we know it's getting close to end of year. I know you're thinking about taxes and maximizing your donations, all of that. So don't forget about us, because we appreciate you too.
Boy, we do. We appreciate you, Steph. Thanks so much for sharing that. And you can watch Janet again anytime you want, all week long. Just go on the archives there, bring up the day for tonight and Janet's name, and this show will come on, and we'll go from there. I wish we had 2 hours. We're still praying that way, folks, and Ron's up one on us on prayer there. We're working on it, Ron. We're praying. But thanks for tuning in tonight. It is time for us to kind of have to go, Janet. I wish I had more time. Janet, thank you for being with us. You are in our prayers. We love and appreciate you for all you're doing. And just know whenever you're working, all my friends there, they're praying for me and they're supporting me and all these ladies to be a witness for Christ and the Constitution and who we are and what we stand for. Thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and keep you. And we'll see you same time next week or all during the week if you want to click in like you tell me during the week when you text. God bless and keep you. Thank you.
Bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.